This is Digital Story Podcast number 941, April 2nd, 2024. Today's theme is, finally, fast transfer from SD card to smartphone. I'm Derek Story. In theory, our mirrorless cameras and our smartphones should be the best of mates. Together, they could provide the power and portability that we could only dream of a decade ago. But thanks to finicky Wi-Fi mobile apps, transfers from camera to smartphones have been painful at best. Then the EU stepped in, and everything changed. Find out how on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. If I told you that you have everything you need right now for reliable, hassle-free transfers of RAWs and JPEGs from your mirrorless camera to your smartphone, would you believe me? If you've toiled with wireless-enabled mobile apps from Canon, Nikon, Sony, Fujifilm, and OM system, you probably wouldn't. They're fine for Bluetooth functionality such as geotagging our camera pictures, but they suck at the robust transfer of pictures. I had pretty much given up on the whole thing until one day when I was gazing at the USB-C port on my iPhone 15 Pro Max, the port that replaced the Lightning connector by mandate of the EU. That same Lightning connector that I have various card readers for that for some unexplained reason don't work with my iPad, which does have a Lightning connector. It seems like they kind of work when you first get them, and then a generation or two go by, and then suddenly they don't work. And let's be honest, those card readers that we got in the past for the Lightning connector, didn't they just feel a little bit too cheap? Yeah. All right. Maybe I just went shopping at the wrong place. So I started thinking, what if I took my Kingston 1 terabyte card out of the Nikon ZF, put it into my portable little pocket Kingston SD card reader, and plug that into the iPhone 15 Pro Max? It should work. And you know what? It does. And not only does it works fast. So what software could I use to manage the copying of photos from the SD card to the iPhone? Well, as it turns out, the Apple Files app works great, as does Lightroom Mobile. Photos for iOS also has a direct import function, but it can't separate the raw JPEG bundles the way that Lightroom and Files can. So unless I'm shooting JPEG only, which is rare, I'll use the Files or Lightroom for import. Now I'm going to get into the details of how to do that in a minute, but I just want to summarize what I've been talking about for the last couple minutes. Yes, in the past, we could get proprietary card readers that maybe did a decent job of importing files into, often, if you had an iPhone, a Photos app, which didn't allow you to separate JPEGs and RAWs, and it was frustrating. Now, it wasn't quite as frustrating as the Wi-Fi transfer from the camera manufacturer's mobile apps, but it was still pretty frustrating. I carried card readers around with the Lightning connector to use as a backup when I couldn't get Wi-Fi to work, but, you know, honestly, I just sort of gave up on the whole thing altogether. All of them, they just wore me out. Now, a couple things happened. One is Lightroom Mobile got better. The Files app in iOS is really good, and I think a lot of people don't realize how many things it can do. One of the things that it can do is manage the transfer of pictures from an SD card out of your mirrorless camera into your smartphone. It can also manage things going the other way, exported pictures out of Lightroom Mobile onto a USB-C flash drive. I mean, the Files app can do a lot of stuff. Lightroom Mobile can do a lot of stuff. And all we really need is something that we already have, which is a little SD card reader. I have the ones that are so compact that they fit. I wear jeans a lot, Levi's. They have that little coin pocket on the right side. My card reader fits in that little coin pocket. I don't even have to think about it. I can put it in my top shirt pocket if I'm using it, whatever. It is that small, that light. So now think about it. All you have to do to have the kind of freedom that I think many of us crave, right, which is not to be burdened to the ball and chain laptop. I mean, laptops are great. Laptops are great at home. Laptops are great at night in the hotel room. Laptops are great all sorts of places. I don't think they're great when I'm out hiking in the field. I don't think they're great when I'm on the go. I don't think they're great when I'm hanging out with the family on some sort of vacation. They're not great in a lot of places, but they're nice at home and they're nice in the motel room. Okay. But yeah, because these other tools just didn't work the way that I wanted, I ended up this modern day and age doing something really old fashioned, which is waiting till I get back to the laptop, wherever it is, take the SD card out of my camera, put it in a card reader or in the laptop card reader, and then start doing my work then. Well, I wanted to start looking at those pictures and maybe sharing them like at 10 in the morning, not at 10 at night, right? But I'm not going to carry my laptop around with me out on the mall in Washington, D.C., right? That's just, again, silliness. I tried with the mobile apps that the camera manufacturers make to supposedly allow transfer or copying of pictures from the camera to my smartphone, okay? And I really worked at it. I even, in my Notes app that I carry on my iPhone, I even have the procedure for transferring pictures from my X100V to my iPhone 15 Pro Max. I had to write it down. Because if you don't do it just right, if you make one little misstep, then the whole thing falls apart. This day and age, that surprises me, but you know what? I finally learned that there are some things I just cannot change, and that is one of them. So let me walk you through this idea of being able to be out with our camera, our OMD, our ZF, our Sony, our Canon mirrorless camera, and just our smartphone, because guess what? Android phones have USB-C connectors too, right? Yay! Before iPhone, that's for sure, right? All the Android users out there are going, hey man, we've had this forever, right? All you need is a camera, all you need is your smartphone, all you need is a card reader that fits, you know, anywhere in your pockets. And then you can be doing stuff whenever you want, as fast as you want. All right, let me just walk you through the steps here. I'm doing it with iOS, obviously, but again, this can be done with any Android device as well. Now, I'm going to be very methodical on the steps here because I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm talking about here. I started last week, I got some mail about, you know, talking about the power stations, the Jackery power stations and solar panels and watts and all that stuff. I got some mail and I understand. Thank you everyone who wrote me about all that. I will be even more methodical this week, I promise. All right, here we go. First, remove the SD card from the camera, put it in the card reader and connect the reader to your iPhone or Android smartphone. On the iPhone, open up the Files app and look for your SD card, the name of your SD card, under Locations, and that'll be on the left-hand side. In my case, it will read Nikon ZF. Tap on the SD card name to take you to the next screen. You will see one or more file folders there. Tap on the one that reads DCIM. This is a folder we're all quite familiar with. Depending on how your camera sets up its file system, an additional folder may exist inside DCIM. Tap on it and your photos will be revealed. If you shoot RAW plus JPEG, you will see both versions of your pictures there. To choose the ones that you want to copy to the iPhone, tap on the three dots in the upper right-hand corner of the screen and tap on Select. Now all you have to do is tap on the thumbnails of the pictures you want to copy to the device. Most of the time, this is going to be JPEGs, right? They will be marked with a blue check after you tap on them. Now tap on the Share button in the lower left corner of the screen. Choose Save Images. The pictures are now copied to your camera roll on your iPhone and are accessible via Photos, Lightroom Mobile, and RAW Power, any other app that you may be using, Photomator, all that stuff. Those photos will be accessible to all of those applications. So that's the nice thing about the Files app, is that if you bring them in via that, then they're saved to the device, and then all the other applications can get to them. Swipe up to close the Files app, disconnect the reader from your phone, and return the SD card to your camera. Now, I know it took me a couple minutes to read all of those steps, but it goes fast. One of the things that used to frustrate me when I tried to do the Wi-Fi method with the mobile app is that it took forever, if I had a lot of pictures on the SD card, for those to show up on the phone, because it would just like read one and then read the next. It's only reading thumbnails and read the next. It was just so slow. I don't like to delete things off my SD card. I mean, right now I'm shooting with a Kingston 1 terabyte card, and I just like to let things roll on there. And what happens is that you get to day 2 or day 3 of your adventure, you've got so many pictures on there that you'll never get them loaded onto your phone via Wi-Fi using these mobile apps, because it just takes too long. So either you have to get rid of those pictures, or you have to start the transfer process and go have dinner. Of course, you come back and then you find out the Wi-Fi has been dropped and you have to start all over again. Anyway, the good thing about USB-C is that it's so fast that it doesn't make any difference if you have 400 pictures on that card. They just go bloom and they're there. It is that fast. So, I mean, that to me is one of the biggest things. And you really wouldn't know that frustration unless you've lived it, unless you've waited and waited for the shots that you really wanted to get to finally show up on your phone screen, only to have the Wi-Fi connection drop at that very moment you were ready to transfer them. Because we're waiting for the thumbnails just to appear. You haven't even set the share yet. You haven't even, marked them to move onto the phone. You're just waiting for them to show up. Oh my gosh, it's maddening. Anyway, so that to me is one of the really big things. Now again, card readers for Lightning and card readers in general have been around for a long time, but there's something to me about the USB-C protocol that is just so much more solid than anything that I've used in the past. And I noticed the difference. It was really noticeable how solid and fast and reliable. It was just like working on a new computer, right? It was that kind of feeling. All right. So there is a difference. So if you're sitting there going, well, I've done a card reader in the past with Lightning, it was fine. No, this is different. This is better. Now, if you want to bypass the Files app and import from Lightroom Mobile directly, you can, and it works really well. Again, Lightroom Mobile is terrific. You connect the SD card, tap on the blue import icon in the lower right corner of the Lightroom interface. Lightroom will ask you if you want to add photos from the device, which would be the iPhone, from the Files, which would be the Files app, or the connected camera/card. And of course, you're going to choose the connected camera/card. In this instance, again, select the pictures you want, tap on the blue import button at the bottom of the screen, and your pictures will appear. Now, Lightroom is really nice, of course, because it is an amazing editing experience on a mobile device. I mean, I'm really impressed at how that app has evolved. It's really terrific. So, you know, now once you have the pictures in there, you have some really strong editing tools to work on them. And Lightroom Mobile plays really nice with all the other kids. So you can save a finished image to the camera roll, which goes on the device itself, which means it can be shared anywhere. It can go to the Lightroom Cloud so that when you get home and you open up Lightroom on your laptop, the pictures are there and you can keep editing them, and they will have the edits that you did on the mobile device already applied, and you can keep editing or go backwards or whatever you want. It's so versatile. You can basically do anything with Lightroom Mobile on your phone, on your smartphone, that you can do on the computer other than the heavy duty, you know, layer stuff and, you know, all masking, all that. I'm just talking about basic workflow, highlights, shadows, playing with some of the tools, adding filters, exporting the images, posting the images up online, you know, all that kind of stuff. Piece of cake with Lightroom Mobile, so it's really nice. Now, if you're not a Lightroom fan, okay, if you go, sorry, lost me at Lightroom, that's okay, it's cool, I understand. There are two other apps that I really like that, again, work in this workflow. One is called Raw Power by Gentleman Coders. Very high on this app. I've always been high on this app. Those guys work so hard at keeping that application up to date. They are almost as good as Adobe at, you know, having new raw profiles ready and all that stuff. They are really terrific. Not a subscription, right? You just buy it and you have it. It's affordable. You can get it in the iOS App Store. You can also get it for your laptop, for your Mac as well, in the Mac App Store. Terrific application. The people who developed Raw Power worked on Aperture, right? So they understand how all of this works, and they do a great job. So you have that option if you're not a Lightroom fan. And then Photomator for iOS is also terrific. Very robust, works great, has won awards, all that stuff, and it's available. So you have a lot of applications to choose from. And of course, you still have Photos for iOS. The only thing I would say about Photos for iOS, don't import directly from inside of Photos because it won't let you separate those RAWs and JPEGs. And especially as slow as Apple is with the RAW profiling, for example, my Mac still natively can't read the RAW files from the ZF, from the Nikon ZF, right? So neither can my phone. So I don't want to import RAW files that can't be seen. In that case, I just want to bring in JPEGs, and I think using Files or Lightroom Mobile allows me to do that. By the way, Lightroom can read the files from the ZF, no problem, as can RAW Power. So, you know, you just got to figure out what you have and then figure out the best software. But there's a lot of software that allows you to do this workflow. Now, I have a lot of this information in the show notes right now, so it's there for you. I also have a free link to the article, Making the iPhone Mirrorless Camera Connection, that I published in Live View. If you use the link in the show notes, you go past the paywall, just blow past the paywall, and you can get to the article. And there I also have illustrations. So I have all the illustrations. I have more information. So if you're interested in getting this dialed in, right, and I think it's really worth it, because now we're walking around with the camera that we love around our neck, our smartphone in our pocket, a little card reader wherever you want to put it, and you can do practically anything, anywhere. That's just craziness, right? And it would be fun, not maddening. So anyway, so that article is in the show notes as well. Just click on that link, it'll get you past the paywall, and you can read the whole article and get all the details. And finally, I just want to thank the EU for making Apple put USB-C connector in my iPhone. Thank you so much. Pentax announces a new daguerreotype camera. Now, this was my favorite April Fool's story, and you can read it on photofocus.com. I'm going to read you a big chunk of it right now. I thought they did a great job with the story. Just made me smile. And just as a little bit of backgrounder, you know, Pentax is working on, you know, the film camera project where they're building film cameras. They're going to build brand new film cameras. And of course, you know, they've shunned the mirrorless cameras and going with DSLRs, sticking with DSLRs. All right. That, you know, that Pentax, that Ricoh Pentax. Hopefully you'll get a kick out of the story as well. Ricoh Pentax announced a daguerreotype camera catching the film industry off guard. Quote, "It's 1830 specs, but with some modern touches," the designer stated on Instagram. While the video doesn't reveal many details or a launch date, Pentax stated that the camera is in development. Quote, "We have wanted to embrace analog technology. The film camera project was just stretching a bit and warming up. Pentax is now seriously throwing down," end quote. Pentax went on to say that the daguerreotype uses the same process as the original 1830s design. Quote, "Young people have increasingly shown interest in these kinds of cameras, and we want them to experience the joy that the early pioneering photographers felt," end quote. With traditional daguerreotype cameras, the photographer polished a silver-plated copy sheet until it was like a mirror. Then they zapped it with iodine and bromine vapors to make it light sensitive. After that, they inserted the sheet into the camera where the exposure was made. The photographer then placed the exposed plate over heated mercury fumes until the image appeared. This produced a surprisingly detailed, one-of-a-kind image. Since the daguerreotype camera is still in development, Ricoh Pentax offered few other details. However, they did state that they were exploring various materials. Quote, "The original wooden housings were often very large and cumbersome," end quote. "So we are exploring other materials, including innovative, inflatable housings." The company also noted that they were looking into using heated fumes other than mercury, noting that customers shouldn't breathe toxic fumes. Ricoh Pentax is also looking at creating silver-plated copper sheets with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity so the photographer can upload their daguerreotype prints to social media easily. Happy April Fools. I just thought that was such a clever story. I love Pentax. I love Ricoh. In fact, we're going to do another story on Ricoh here in just a minute. But, you know, this was clever. This was clever. You can read the whole thing on photofocus.com. I have a link in the show notes. And happy April Fools to everyone. Right, coming up, the online infrared photography workshop in June 2024. Do you feel like the world is looking like the same old through your camera viewfinder? Have you felt your enthusiasm for photography waning? Then it's time for you to consider exploring infrared imaging. Suddenly, walks you've taken 100 times look completely different as you see them through your camera. Old familiar subjects burst to life with new vibrancy. IR photography can energize your creativity, not only for this medium, but for all of your artistry. Beginning on June 5th, 2024, join us for this four-week exploration into the world of IR. And during this event, we are going to cover a lot of stuff. The best IR filter to start with, how to test your existing digital camera for IR sensitivity, different types of IR conversions, how IR filters produce different results, learn how to fine-tune your images with software you already own, and discover advanced techniques to take your images to the next level. The online workshop begins on Wednesday, June 5th, 2024, with both morning and evening sessions available. We will convene weekly thereafter via Zoom for more training sessions, AM and PM, Q&A, and to compare notes. You can attend the morning session, evening session, or both. It's essentially the same content, just different participants. If you want to join us, there's a link in the show notes, or you can reserve your spot by going to the Nimble Photographer, click on Workshops, or on thedigitalstory.com and click on workshops there. I hope you join me in June for our IR workshop. Here's a story that's not an April Fool's joke and something that I'm quite interested in. Ricoh's new GR3 HDF and GR3X HDF cameras feature a dreamy filter. And you can read this entire article on petapixel.com. I have a link in the show notes. Ricoh Imaging has announced a pair of new cameras, the Ricoh GR3 HDF and GR3X HDF, that incorporate a newly developed highlight diffusion filter, that's the HDF, to easily capture softer, dreamier photos. The HDF, which can be quickly enabled or disabled in a single action, the special effect filter diffuses the highlight areas and generates a blurring effect around the edge of the image, which Ricoh promises to make it possible to produce images resembling those captured in film photography or vintage movies. It is perhaps no coincidence that Ricoh Imaging is making its popular GR3 compact camera series deliver more analog-inspired images, given that Ricoh is working hard to ship its Pentax film camera this summer. Vintage aesthetics are definitely in the right now as photographers look to capture photos with more character and style. If you go to the article, which I recommend that you do, they have examples of photos captured with this filter, the HDF, and then they also have some before and after, so captured without the HDF and with the HDF. I have a similar filter on my X100V that I really like. It's a bit more subtle than the HDF, but it has that same kind of just takes the edge off things. And I love it. I just leave it on all the time these days, honestly. And I think if I had one of these GRs with the HDF, I would be using it a lot as well. There's some more information about all of this, how it works, in the article, so you can read that. One thing, though, I want to mention here. Since the new models incorporate the new highlight diffusion filter, they no longer include the neutral density filter mode. So you've got to decide which one is more important to you, because you either get a camera with the HDF or with the ND filter, but you can't get a camera with both of them. Just be aware of that. The Ricoh GR right now is a super popular camera. I love how they keep doing these nice little enhancements for it to make it more useful and to make it more fun to shoot with. All right, stick here for a little virtual camera club news. I want to mention the Nimble Photographer newsletter comes out every Thursday. It's free. If you sign up for it, it just shows up in your inbox. It allows me to talk about things that happen after I record the podcast, or something that I've been working on that just didn't fit in the podcast, or just something else altogether. You never really know what's going to be in that newsletter, other than it's probably going to be fun and interesting. If you want to sign up for it, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com. You can sign up for it there. There's a newsletter link in the top bar on the digital store. You can go there, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you join us. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community month in and month out. The folks that keep terrible ads out of your podcast, you ought to thank them just for that. You ought to send the Inner Circle members some money just for keeping underwear ads out of your photography podcast. We have a Patreon tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. You can click on that tile and learn about the Inner Circle. If you join us, which you would right there on Patreon, then you also get a link to our Inner Circle space that's on Derek Story Online. This is where all the action happens. This is where we share photos, ask questions, run polls, you name it. It's really a great spot to hang out. And it's just with cool people. That's the thing about it. You don't have any uncool people there. They're all cool people, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting us. And for those of you who aren't there yet, I hope you join us in 2024. I want to mention that we have advertising tiles on the right two columns of thedigitalstory.com. Have them for B&H Photo, have them for Amazon, have them for Jackery, have them for On One, all sorts of cool stuff there. Have one for Red River Paper, of course. If you're going to do a little shopping at any of these places, if you would click on those tiles first, then navigate to what you're going to buy, that help supports this podcast, and I truly appreciate it. And finally, I want to give a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. These are the folks that make inkjet printing not only enjoyable, but productive. Yes, exactly, productive. Think about it. This is kind of the theme for this podcast, that when you want to do something, you're in the creative mood and you want to create, you don't want to fiddle with a Wi-Fi connection from your camera to your smartphone. You just want the pictures on your smartphone. When you want to print, you want to print. You don't want to have to fiddle with all the stuff that gets you out of the mood and then you don't print. That's no fun. By hanging out at Red River Paper site, you will learn what you need. You will learn technique. You will learn to have the proper materials on hand so that when you're in the mood, you can print. Not when you're in the mood, you can order paper and then wait for it to come when you're out of the mood, right? Get your paper first, have it on hand, learn how to work your printer, decide what projects you want to work on, and then when you feel it, then go to work and you'll have everything ready to go and you'll be dialed in. Red River Paper helps us with all aspects of inkjet printing, and you can learn more about them by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. And a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. Bryce is going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Get out there and take some more pictures. I'm working on stuff for next week. Let's meet back here next Tuesday. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.